I think when you're alone for a long time, you go through periods of like super masturbation where you're like all the time. And then I think your brain kind of goes, okay, let's not. And that, again, it's not good because it really does take sexuality out of your life. And it's very important for all human beings. It really is. It's very important. But there is that, you know, that expression, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Yeah. I'm serious. Like, I just feel like, I think it's just important to keep it going, especially women. Just keep everything greased and the wheels moving. Like, you really have to.
Otherwise, the factory shuts down. Then when you do want to start up again, like, oh, it is creaky.
Oh, it's,
and
I was
it's tough to get it back going.
That's exactly it. Just keeping things moving. Just keeping things moving is all that matters, you know?
But first, a word from our sponsors.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Man Whore Podcast.
Shout out to the daters, to the baiters, and to the same-sex wedding caterers. This is Billy Presida, and you are listening to the Man Whore Podcast. Deborah DiGiovanni, formerly known in my head as Deborah D. Giovanni, back when I did not know how to say her name correctly. In my defense, she didn't know how to say her name correctly either. So there. But she's a super funny veteran stand-up comic, is on the pod this week. Very excited to share this conversation in just a little bit. But first, Not the Naked Comedy Show, tomorrow, Thursday, February 29th, down on the Lower East Side at Lucky Jack's. I know, edgy concept, comedy with pants on, but I hope to see you there. It's the first show we're doing of this, hopefully going to be a monthly series. We need a nice strong turnout to keep it going. Ticket link for that, of course, in the show notes, right at the top. You know where it is. Biden is banging, allegedly, or likes to at least still talk about banging. There's a new book called Katie Rogers coming out called American Woman, The Transformation of the Modern First Lady from Hillary Clinton to Joe Biden. And in the book, she writes that apparently Joe Biden would joke with his aides that the key to a long and lasting marriage is good sex, which a lot of people went, ew, gross. Ah, it's like when you hear mom talk about, like, you know, her hookup attempts on ourtime.com. You're like, oh, no, I don't want to hear about it. You're kind of like, you know, hey, like, your sexuality, it's real, it's valid, I'm glad it exists, I don't want to know about it. But I say good, I say I'm glad, I'm good Joe Biden is talking about being older and banging his wife. Remind us that sex does not have to end when y'all turn 60 or 70. I mean, it may have ended for him. I mean, the dude's 81 years old. Is he still getting it up at this point? He can barely stay up on a bike. Some of you might say, what are you talking about? He totally was, remember, he was riding his bike. There was that famous video. Yeah, that was like 4 years ago. 4 years ago, I used to run a mile under 8 minutes. Things change. But I am glad. I'm glad we have a sex-positive president. Anytime we heard Trump talk about sex, it was just about how he wants to fuck his daughter. And I think that's a bit grosser than a couple old people still getting it on. By the way, I actually Googled the phrase sex positive presidents, and what came up was a book that exists in this world called Sex with Presidents, The Ins and Outs of Love and Lust in the White House by Eleanor Herman, came out back in 2020. And, you know, if anybody wants to buy me this book, I did add it to my bookshop.org wish list. Yes, the Amazon wish list has been transferred to bookshop.org. Link in the schnotes. If you want to pick me up this book or get it for yourself, supports indie bookstores. I recorded this episode with Deborah out in Los Angeles. I saw her special Single Awkward Female like 10 years ago. Fell in love with it. Thought she was so fucking funny. Watched it I don't know how many times. We soon after became Twitter friends, and you know, we DM maybe once or twice a year and just couldn't seem to get linked up. But I'm glad that finally on this past trip to LA, you know, we could make a podcast happen. But there's something very, very big about her sex and dating history that I did not know until I was in the lift on the way to her place. And wow, imagine, and I address it right up top in the beginning, but wow, what if I did not know that? That would have been weird. Cause I don't really do a lot of like research. I'm sitting here, I'm having connected conversations. That's what I do. In the first years of this podcast, people would sometimes joke like, oh, you ripped off guys we fucked. No, I did not actually. We both came up with the concept of interviewing our exes independently of each other. They just happened to beat me to it. I actually almost didn't even do this entire show when I saw Corinne post on Facebook like, hey, just launched a podcast with Christina and we're doing... I was like, oh, fuck, no, I thought I had a good idea. No. I ripped off Mark Maron. Because that is the style that I have been doing this whole time. I don't do an interview. It's not a Q&A. I'm sitting down just trying to connect with another human being about sex, dating, gender, or love. Oftentimes, I'm interviewing people who are not used to sharing their personal dating lives. You know, the sex researchers, they like to talk about the data. And I'm like, yeah, but like, what's your relationship to the data, Justin? It really is a kind of an art form. It's anyone can like think of a bunch of questions to ask in an interview. Participating in and guiding a conversation is like this whole other animal. And I want to play a brief clip from his recent episode of WTF with Lily Gladstone. In his monologue, he kind of really boiled down what this is. And I don't know why, but I just feel this urge to share it with you. Maybe because I'm feeling sentimental as I approach a decade of doing this every Wednesday. Here's Mark.
If you still listen and each conversation, you know, despite me being a constant, is engaging and interesting, is that it has to be for me as well. And there is a type of dread that I experience before any of these conversations, like any of you would have heading into a conversation with somebody that you don't really know, but you've heard about. But there is a kind of very human and very present anxiety or nervousness about entering these conversations, because I don't really know, you know, how it's going to go. I never really know. I don't ever know. And because of the way I do it, which is try to engage and get a real groove going and figure out what I'm interested in about them that, you know, maybe not, they haven't revealed necessarily, or just, you know, a way to get them to a place where they can speak from who they are. And I'm not going to say exhausting, because it's not exhausting, but that's the process. Sometimes when I know someone's coming up in a month, I'm like, well, you got to make sure you have your brain kind of wrapped around the work that this person is here for. Not the thing that they're here promoting or why I necessarily got this person, but why are they what they are as an artist, and where does that come from, and what of their work moved you the most or made you realize that they were an amazing creative person.
And that's what this is. And I love that this is what it is. I love I do this the way that I do. The best version of this podcast feels like a great first date where there's no sex usually. And I know that there's no second date. That's the vibe I'm always going for. Why do I want to tell you this? I guess this is also how I try to tackle dating. When I'm on a date, particularly like first, second, third dates, most of what we're trying to do is get to know each other, as well as get to know the chemistry. But I think a lot of people stop at just trying to get to know each other. And get to know each other means exchanging trivia, exchanging facts on the back of our baseball card of life. But no, you're also getting to know the chemistry between you two. I think some people approach a date like a job interview. But I don't think anyone likes being interviewed. People like to talk. People like to be asked questions and invited to share stories. But I don't think everybody wants to be like interviewed. And so I guess why I share this is to suggest that in your dating lives, you know, connect, have a conversation, not an interview. I think when you know, one of them comes from a place of like this formality where like I should acquire certain pieces of information to analyze versus just following your curiosity about someone. I think that makes for just a way better connection. And I think you find out far more from that. May you all do your podcasts and dating in similar ways. Real quick, fan whore appreciation moment. Gotta thank the fan whores on Patreon. I want to give a shout out to Alicia Ceresi and Jonathan Town, a couple of nerds. And I hope you're enjoying the Boney Eps on Patreon. There's over 300 bonus episodes available, as well as behind the scenes content, private whorehead community spaces, dirty haikus, and shout outs. So if you want to support me and the work that I'm doing here for as little as $2 a month, become a member right now at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. That's Patreon, patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. You don't got $2? It's $2. Like for this show I put out every week, I can't get $2? That's... Yeah, that was the sound of you going into your drawer and be like, you know, I do got like a couple bucks in loose change in this drawer. You know, let me give it to Billy. Great idea. The 10-year podiversary is coming up April 16th, and I would love to have 500 Patreon members on that day to celebrate 10 years of doing the show. Paid and unpaid members, we're at 251. Let's hit 500. It will make Billy feel really, really good, and it costs such... Remember that part? So little to make me a happy boy. I'm already a good boy. Make me a good and happy boy. Deborah DiGiovanni, what can I say that we're not about to? Super fucking funny. If she is touring anywhere near you, you need to see her. I'm only mad that I can't. Got to pay a few bills, you know, because Until I get that $2, I got to pay some bills with a couple of ads. But then me and Deborah.
Oh, yeah. I don't even need a microphone, apparently. I could just scream into the ether.
Yes. Wednesday at 7 a.m., just yeah. Open your window. Wherever in the world you are, you will hear Deborah doing her side
shrieking.
Of the show. Yes.
Good deal.
I don't always do... when I feel like I'm just going to vibe with someone, I don't really research. I go like, good to know a couple touch points. Yeah. But... I was like, oh, let me go listen to Sun. She was on in the showers morning, and the first thing that pops up when I type in your name in dating is your Nicole Byer episode.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, she was celibate for 18 years. Imagine if I sat here to talk to you about dating and I didn't know
and
that.
You did, yeah, I know. And it I would change everything, doesn't it? It really does.
Absolutely.
And you know, 18 might even not be correct. It might have been closer to 20.
Yeah?
Yeah, like we're talking like what age?
What age to age?
I broke up with my last partner when I was 29 years old.
Okay.
And then, God, I was probably... 48 again is when I kind of got back into the dating world. So 19 years.
So when you
did
single awkward female, that was like after like 10 years of not dating.
I was single and awkward and almost not female.
I love that special.
Yeah,
like
thank
you. I felt like it was, I was getting like machine gunned with punchlines.
Yes, exactly.
It's such a tough like type of comedy to do. So I just love. I go to sleep with stand up on. So yours became part of that rotation. Got taken off Netflix, I was pissed.
Oh my God. That's so funny. That's so funny. I don't know how you go to sleep with my voice.
Well, I also go to sleep to like Mark Maron and Doug Stanhope if you want to get an idea of my brain.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to know your dreams. But anyway. But yeah, that was virgin. So basically, my whole comedy career,
yeah,
I was single and celibate. Like pretty much. Like honestly. Like, because this is my 24th year in comedy. Mm-hmm. So I mean, yeah. I was, alone for a long time.
Why?
You know, I think I did one of those, just had a run of really bad relationships and really bad dudes. So I think I was just like, you know what, I'm done with this. And then I'd also just sort of started, I was a baby, you know, in comedy, like 2 or 3 years in. So my brain was like, I'm just going to focus on comedy and not worry about anything else. And that is I would say, a very good idea when you first start. But
well, like getting sober?
Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Getting sober and being, oh, great. But then to a certain point, because then at some point, you know, you become that person. Do you know what I mean? It's like, because my comedy is always very true. What's going on in my life is going on stage. Mm-hmm. So then you become that person. And then you're just like, if I turn myself into this, like, celibate weird, like, that, my, that was my brand now. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's kind of strange. But then it also, too, it's like, you cut off parts of your life, right? Like, and you only focus on one big section. At some point, you wake up and go, oh, this is all I have now. Do you, like, it was really about 10 years in of single celibate doing comedy. Comedy was going great. Yeah. But then you had that moment of like, oh, how am I going to get back into this? Because then it's like, you know, if you're alone for a long time, people, it's weird to jump back in. It really is. Like, there is 10, 12, 13 years, your brain is like, do I know how to do this anymore? And so it got, I would not suggest it, is what I'm going to say. Yeah. Balance, everyone. Balance. You know what I mean? Maybe, yeah, maybe first couple of years of comedy, focus, 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 but being completely alone and celibate is, I don't think it's a good recipe for success in life, to be honest. Your brain, we can acclimatize to anything. I think it just goes, well, we're going to survive, so okay. And that, I think that's the danger of what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You will become comfortable. You will be like, okay, I don't worry about it anymore. And then you start doing, okay, these are the red flags. These are the things where you go, I've been alone too long. When you stop doing your toenails, do you know what I mean?
Okay.
When you stop getting pedicures, you're like, really? Am I? You know what I mean? It's just those little moments that you're like, oh, I'm not even, okay, I've been watching a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race, and it's like, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like that at some point, once you've been alone for a long time, your brain goes, I'm not ready anymore, and I don't even care. Yeah. I don't even care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I stopped shaving my asshole, and it's very real for me. I go, because I do try to stay ready,
right?
To be ready.
Yes.
So I was like, in case I'm going on a date and somebody maybe wants to do that, mm-hmm. I want to be ready. Yeah. And then like in my loneliness, I was like, oh, I'm just not going to do that.
Bother.
The first time I did it again, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, I need a new razor.
Everything, right? It's like, God bless. Do what you want, but listen to us, because it does. It really takes you out of it. Like, I have a joke about like being so out of the world of sexuality. Like, it just feels like, because, you know, you hit 10, 12, 15 years and your brain goes, I don't even know. Like, you feel like, for me, it felt like I was in a coma. Like, you wake up and you're like, the internet? Like, you have no idea how long you've been in a coma. And then, I would say, liken myself to, like, I'm old technology, like VCR. Do you know what I mean? It's like, my brain is like, I don't even have to know how to compete with the rest of this anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the whole joke is, you know, I'm a VCR, and, you know, I will eat your tape. You know what I mean? Do you remember when you used to push it in too hard? Then you had to fix it with a pencil? That's me. That's who I am. But it's true. You get out of it. You feel shy. And especially, I feel like, so when did I stop? What I was going to say, maybe like the early 2000s? Think of even just how much everything changed in that time.
Right before online dating.
I mean, right before online dating. Exactly.
Craigslist,
oh my God.
Craigslist hookups, barely a thing.
Barely a thing. And then, you know, it was, God, I don't remember, but it was more like, what were the early ones?
I mean, I think
like,
OkCupid and Plenty. Yeah, I think OkCupid, that was like, that's always kind of been around.
And you know, there was that one that was really like relationships, that was the old man would be like, I want you to meet someone. Do you remember those ones?
Match.
It was Match. Yeah. It was Match.com. So those ones were sort of like, but they always,
to the
don't
kids,
you feel like,
these apps, they used to be websites.
They used to
full
be
websites.
Full website.
You used to have to open up a computer to use it.
You have to sit down at your computer. But that's, and it was, those ones always were like way more dating too.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? They wasn't real hookup culture then.
Yeah, it wasn't even like appropriate.
No. It wasn't.
That.
It was like, because that one,
the
I remember
bar was
Match
hookup culture.
Totally.
Yeah.
Real life was still hookup culture, right? And still, but that, I remember those commercials that it was an old man, a gray haired man, you know, talking about, we want to find you love. Like, think about it now. I mean, my God, it's like, there's, very, very different. So even then it's like, there wasn't Instagram. Like, there wasn't, you know, so it felt different being, you know, single, pre, you know, online hookups and DMs and, you know, pre Tinder, you know, it was different. And then you became inundated. And it's like, oh my God, like having to set up your first Tinder. Oh my God. Setting up my first Tinder buyer. Oh my God. It's just, I mean, I literally had a friend, my friend Sophie Buttle is a fantastic Canadian comedian, lives in Los Angeles. She taught me how to take a booty shot. Like, literally, what you want to do is you want to get in front of the mirror. And I was like, okay, literally, I like learned this from a young friend of mine. I was like, oh my God.
And you're
I can't
sending like
it.
Your nudes and to I, another friend. Like, exactly. To have them be like, is this good? How does this? Did I do it?
Literally, that's exactly it. Give me pointers on this.
You know who doesn't
more
do
lighting.
That?
Who?
Straight men. Mm. Do not. I've never had a dude. I'm granted, I don't have a lot of like straight buddy friends.
Yeah.
But I've never had a dude send me a dick pic to be like,
yo, how's this?
Is the angle good?
Yeah. And you know what? They should. They really should.
No, they should find a good, safe female friend who is consented to be that.
Yeah.
Because dudes are just doing the same downward. Because I still get dick pics because, like, when you talk about sex.
Oh, yeah. Just, you're going to get them. That's just going to happen.
Whether I want it or not. But still, it's just right here. Oh, yeah. It's just from the above. And you know what changed my world was when, like, a woman told me, no, you want the picture from an angle at which she would be seeing it at. Like, if she was
POV.
On her knees.
Her POV.
Yeah. That's the hot. Because like, that's
underside.
How
it's. Side kind
when
of,
does it? She oh, yeah. see it from that angle? Yeah, never.
Yeah, yeah, that's you looking down. Yeah. You know what? There used to be a woman that would like critique your dick pics. I don't know. That was a
well,
long
now
time
that's
ago.
A whole porn category. Yeah, people pay. Like you can pay for like a porn star to like just, you know dick. They call them dick pic ratings.
Oh
dick
my
ratings.
God, that's fantastic.
Usually they'll do them for like $20-$25. And so either
I'm sorry. Yeah. You get a good one and you're set. You don't need to do it.
Yeah.
Good. I got one good booty pick and that was the one I used the entire time. Yeah.
Unlike the rest of my body, like that part's staying about the same. Exactly. The rest of it you like, do need
who
to
knows?
Update.
I was gonna oh God, please, yeah. So yeah, so it was yeah, getting back yeah. in was weird, you know.
Were friends intervening, concerned at some point?
Or? You know, it was always sort of, okay. This is an interesting thing too, because I think at first they intervene and they're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then I feel like people even your best people, even your closest people, I feel like people get a little, just for lack of a better word, embarrassed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think like there's a little bit of like, it becomes a sort of a touchy subject and it feels like, oh, don't want to make this awkward. And I feel like, again, not in any way malicious, but I feel like there's a little sympathy, yeah. sort of like that feeling sorry for. So I do feel like at some point it gets a little awkward and people yeah. don't, you know, don't bring it up anymore. And then again, it's like,
and then you're just that friend. You're just the single friend.
That's what I'm
friend.
Saying. And then, yes, you the permanent single friend. They're always pulling up a chair. We'll get another chair. Yeah. You're like, oh, that's, you know, you become that. And then it also too, like, I remember like really having, you know, on a like crying conversation with a friend because it's like, once people stop asking, are you dating anyone? What's going on? You really feel like, oh, I'm not even a part of this anymore. I'm not even a part of this world anymore. Even just talking about this, I'm like, it's coming back. It's like,
yeah, I could imagine.
But it's true though. And then you really feel like, you just really feel like you're missing out on a big part of life. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. Well, at least I'm not asking the way Nicole did, which made me go, Nicole, I was like, okay, I'm clearly not going to be over. Cause she goes like, did you ever just like get so horny you cry?
Yes.
And I was
exactly.
like, that's yeah, those, question. It's like, I don't want to be mean, but.
No, but it's totally true. This is totally true. And this is, I know a lot of you can listen to me and you feel it. There is that moment like where you would even stop like masturbating became like, I can't do it. Cause it would become too emotional sometimes. Like, yeah. honestly, there were times where you're just like, I'm not even going to. And that's bad too. Yeah. Because then. I think when you're alone for a long time, you go through periods of like super masturbation where you're like all the time. And then I think your brain kind of goes, okay, let's not. And that, again, it's not good because it really does take sexuality out of your life. And it's very important for all mm-hmm. human beings. It really is. It's very important. And you know what? Without being totally weird, like without sounding like a coach,
you can
do it. We can do whatever we want here. But there is that, you know, that expression, if you don't use it, you'll lose it.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like, I honestly, I just feel like, I think it's just important to keep it going, especially women. Yeah. Cause I feel like we can, you know, oh, we're fine. We can let it ride. And it's like, no, don't do that.
Even
girls.
If you
make
keep
sure
it going in a maintenance phase. Saying.
Even in a maintenance phase, that's
right.
exactly
you have
it.
You have maintenance sex with yourself at least.
Totally. 100%. Like, it's even like, just keep everything greased and the wheels moving. Like, you really have to.
Otherwise,
if
the
really
factory shuts down, then when you do want to start up again, like, oh, it is creaky.
Oh, it's,
and it's tough to get it back going.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. You're gonna have a couple false starts. It's going to feel, yeah, just keep it going. Even, I like the maintenance. I have to be honest. I think that's a really good way to say it. Just keeping things moving. Just keeping things moving is all that matters, you know? And it's also too, it's hard too, because as I'm saying this, I'm having a hot flash. I'm going through menopause. Like okay. I'm in pre-menopause and it makes it even harder. And this is, you know, menopause starts, or I found this out, pre-menopause starts at around 45.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was still single. And then, so it's like single. And then like, you start getting menopausal, which means like hot flashes, low sex drive, all these things. So then it's like, oh, I don't care at all anymore. You know, my message is this. Don't stop fucking. That's my message. Just don't stop fucking, everybody. Put it on the back burner. You don't have to date, but stay in it. You know what I mean?
Every once in a while, go to a bar, get laid.
Oh, God. It is a human need. It is, though. It is in the hierarchy of needs, everybody. Yeah. It literally is. So it just is. And touch is very important, too. Touch is very important, too. Like, even if you're just making out, do that as well. Making out is great. Oh, my God.
One of the best. My second favorite thing to do.
Right?
It, like, honestly... Like,
what's the first?
It's always neck and neck with, like, a blowjob is making out. Sometimes I'm like, do I need head? Or I just want, like, a tongue in my mouth.
Seriously. But, like, can we ask this question? I'm sure you've done this before.
Okay.
This one. But, like, okay. If you had to give up fucking or kissing. I know.
Are we giving up all? We're not. It's just fucking versus kissing, other sexual stuff.
No, you can have blowjobs. You can have hand jobs. You can do it. But
I think I give up the fucking.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Because like I don't want to fuck someone if I can't kiss them.
Oh my God.
If I'm in a gangbang and they're well, you can't kiss the wife, all right. But it's harder for me to get into it.
It's not as fun. It's not as fun.
Less and, like, fun gangbang.
It's which is a very underused porn genre, but it is true though. I'm serious, and I feel like that's a real telling thing. You know, I feel like maybe straight men would probably be like, you know, give up kissing, right? Yeah. And that is always, you know, growing up in comedy, I have.
But that's
a
guy who I don't think is very good in bed.
That's
anyway.
Exactly.
I go, that's a guy who's just like, I just want to masturbate.
Of course,
with somebody.
That's exactly because I was saying, like, growing up in comedy,
kissing.
You know?
I can kiss my mom, whatever.
Oh. Yikes! That's a whole other episode, everybody. But like, because you know, we spend a lot of our time surrounded by straight men in comedy, right? So you
unfortunately.
So you know, at the beginning of my career, it was a lot of me and dudes, right? And I remember clearly. A couple of my guys, and they were young, you know, we were all young, but they were young. They were like 27, right? Saying about how much they hated kissing. And I was like, you learn to like kissing right now. And they're like, I was like, you want to have women in your life? Because if you're not kissing women, they're leaving. They're just, it's not going to happen.
When I hear dudes say that, or they're like, I don't like the taste of eating pussy. I go like, I don't think you like women. It's okay if you don't like women. It's okay if you're into dudes. But like,
That's exactly it.
I think they want to come and be straight, but they don't. I think there's dudes who don't like women, but they're like, I'm straight. I'm culturally straight.
Yeah. Okay. We have this. Okay. This is a lot. Now we have some things to talk about. Let me say this. Let's do it. Okay. I completely agree with you as well. Like men, there are the red flags, right? That my big red flags for women that date men, and because it's usually straight men that what I'm talking about. So listen, right now, these are red flags. I'm getting ready. I got a lot of time fanning myself. Number one, if a man says that women aren't funny, get away from that man. Because that is a man that, when a man says that a woman isn't funny, they're actually saying, I don't want to hear a woman speak. So get away from that man. You know, he's a bad man. But also, dudes that are like, I don't go down, I don't like going down, you probably don't really want a woman. You know, you really don't. I had a friend who married a dude that wouldn't go down on her, and I was like, I will see you when you're divorced. I just will. You know, because it just is. It's something so integral to a male and woman. You know, that's integral. If you're not into that, you're probably not into women.
To not like pussy in your face, or to play like to not want to interact with pussy. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you are into women, then you're actually a fucking psycho. Mm-hmm. Because then you're like, oh no. I actually don't give a shit about you. Like, you're a better person if you're actually just not into women.
Exactly.
Then it all just makes some sense.
And you know what? And again, these numbers, I'm sure we've all heard them, but it's also like a very high percentage of women do not have orgasms during sex. Like, and we're talking like 70% of women. It's a high number.
Yeah.
So then again, that is part of it too. So you're basically saying, I really don't care about you. I really don't care about your satisfaction at all.
Like, just be gay. At least you're like a decent human being.
Exactly. But
you're just a decent human being with the wrong stuff. That's all.
That's it. But then there's also that thing that we could do this. My partner is a bisexual man, and I cannot believe I wasted my time with straight men my whole life. I cannot believe it. I don't like them. They don't like me. What was I doing? I'm serious. It's just so different because it's like, we talk about this all the time, how like there's a really big population of straight men that actually just do not like women at all. And they are socially, the construct is like, you have to be with it, but they don't. They actually want to fuck men, or they just want to be with men, maybe fuck women, but they don't want to be with women.
They almost don't even want to be sexual, like in a connected way. Mm-mm. They just want to win. They want to come. Yes. They want to accomplish.
That's exactly it. They just want conquering, and that's all.
They're not into men or women. Some of these guys might, the psychos, they would be bad partners with a dude. Like, regardless, they're just like, I just want to come and win.
It's so true. It's like, there really is big... But like, that's why when someone meets...
Shitting on men has been like such a theme on this LA episodes. It's been... Yes, I talked to Kyle Prue, who does the How to Piss Off Men series and all this.
Oh, God, he's so funny.
Yeah.
He's so funny. He's fun. That's great. Good deal. Yeah, yeah. Is he gay?
No, he's not gay.
Interesting. No. He's got a girlfriend too. Okay, he's cute too. Anyway, whatever. But yeah, but this is the thing though. I'm sorry. It's not shitting on men. It's just... stating the facts, everybody. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. But it's true. You get to a certain age when you realize, okay, this is it. And there's a lot of men too. You're right. A lot of men, just admit it. You don't want relationships. That's, you know what? Maybe a strange segue, but I feel like it's so odd how we still look down on sex work so much. Mm-hmm. It's like, there are so many men that it's like, if you could just admit you don't actually want to be with a woman, go and be with your bros, hang out with everyone, and just pay someone for the job that they want to do. And do it, you know, well, without any hang-ups or red tape. I don't understand why it's so looked down on. I'm like, I think it would change.
Because y'all are the big money earners in that.
Yeah, that's it.
I do not get the same market rate for my dick as others.
Do you know? And it's so ridiculous, though, because it's like, if some men could just admit it, it's like, oh, my God, it would change everything. Go on.
I know. I agree as well. Ever since I was a kid watching Carlin at like 11, just that one joke made it make sense to me.
Yeah,
it's real simple. Oh, you know, he goes like, selling is legal, fucking is legal.
Yeah.
Why isn't selling fucking legal? And I'm like 11, I'm like, this makes sense.
But you're like, that absolutely does. But I feel like it would change everything.
Oh, yeah. There'd be a lot of rich women. Who aren't like scared of going to jail.
Exactly. And also too, I feel like it would reduce the number of incels. I really do. You know what I mean?
A little bit, yeah.
I feel like, because again, well, that's, we don't even want to get into that. That's a whole different category of human.
They do show that like when you have like some sort of like decriminalized sex work in an area, like the rates of rape and assault go down.
Of course.
Rhode Island accidentally... legalized indoor prostitution for, I forget, it was like 4 or 8 years or something. The way they wrote a law about solicitation,
oh my God,
ended up actually really only applying to street-based workers, right? So it was legal for a while, and I figured it was province or all of Rhode Island, and they did a study about like, well, let's just study what this period of time did, and the rates of rape and assault went down, and when they criminalized it again, it went back up.
How do we not... Like, what more proof do you need? That's literal numbers that is showing you.
Every time. Oh, sex ed does that too. In Texas, when they switched to absence only sex ed, there were these outbreaks in different school districts of gonorrhea and chlamydia. Oh. And also, again, like when you have, when you teach comprehensive sex ed, which includes consent, mm-hmm. you got lower rates of sexual violence in that area, which also leads to lesser rates of unwanted pregnancies, yes. which goes to lesser rates of abortion, which you seem to hate.
It all breaks down to that. It's like just educating people, letting people know. It's so strange, the things we keep in the dark. Do you know what I mean? Like, what? And also, one of the most natural acts in the world where it's like... Okay, you know what? I want to just say this too about sex work for a second. I watched a documentary a long time ago. I wish I could tell you the name of it. Okay. But it was sex works in four different areas of the world. Okay. America, Mexico, India, and I want to say the Philippines, but it might have been... I'm not positive, okay? But the difference was... it was immense. Okay, America is exactly what you think it was. They were talking to, you know, street prostitutes, and then they went to girlfriend experiences in Vegas and stuff like that. But then they went to the Philippines, and it is treated like an actual day job. Yeah. The women sign in. They literally punch a card, go to an area where they all get their hair done, and they do their makeup, and they have a cup of tea, and they chat together, and then they sit in sort of like... Forgive me for saying that, but it's sort of like a display case. But trust me when I say these women are well taken care of. They were having fun with each other. Mm-hmm. They're almost teasing the Johns that came through. Oh, look, you have to go with number 7. Okay, bye, girls. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Like literally, and then punching out at the end of the day, getting a paycheck. And I was like, this is so civilized. I don't even know what to tell you. Like, and talking to them, and they're like, no violence, no nothing. And then other areas, Mexico and India, I couldn't even watch. I literally couldn't even watch because it was just So that's like decriminalized. It just made it humane. It was just a day job. And I loved these women. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was camaraderie. There was support. It was lovely, to be honest. It was lovely. And, you know, and the men, no deviant, no one hurting anyone, not even trying, because it's like, it's normal. It's just been normal. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. There we go. That's enough preaching for today.
Well, when you say, like, you know, it's this most natural act, it's again, so when we come back to like this period of time where like you've even gotten used to losing out on something so carnally human.
Yep.
What finally got you to turn the factory back on?
Interesting. Okay. Very good question. I've always been in therapy, right? Okay. And then I had this one therapist for a stretch. And in that time we were, you know, talking about me being single and whatever. And I have to tell you, like, it just is, like, I just remember, like, having that, like, through therapy and figuring out what's going on, you know? I remember my therapist saying, like, I have to be honest, like, him saying to me, I think you're ready to start dating again. Because we pretend that we don't want to be with someone. It's just not, I don't believe it's true down in the deep center of our beings, you know? And then being able to just accept the fact, not having that, like, okay, I want to see if you can like really associate with this, and maybe women listening can too. I almost felt embarrassed of the fact that I was like, I wanted someone, I wanted a partner. And my brain was like, no, you are an independent woman. You don't need. And like, I actually had moments where I was like, I feel shy that I want someone. And the fact that I finally got over it in therapy was like, no, I admit I want to share my life with someone. Mm-hmm. I want to be with someone. I want a partner. And it opened up. Like, and then I went a couple years of this, like, just
pre-COVID, right?
This is pre-COVID. Right. So this is all happening like 2018, 2019. Okay. And this was all like, you know, okay, let's try the apps. Had some terrible, you know, one night stands, which is fine. You know what I mean? And then really like, and then a couple like little short term, but it just, I'd say after about 2 years, I literally was like most of us go, I'm going to take a break from the apps. Yeah. And then everyone, I don't know what to tell you, kids, but then about 6 months later, I met my partner. And it was just one of those things that it was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I've dipped the toe and I think I'm just going to chill for a bit. And then he arrived and then he came up. Yeah.
I think every major relationship I've been in, like, came about at a time when I wasn't looking for the relationship after I was like, okay, like I'm coming out. I'm just meeting people, having some fun. Mm-hmm. Once you stop looking, you just stumble upon it.
And we know that it's cliche. It is. But I'm telling you the truth. It's the truth. Yeah. It just is. Because, and again, not like what we've been talking about, like the celibate, like, I don't care. The acceptance of going, I know I want to be with someone, but I'm not going to put it.
You don't have to optimize it. You don't have to be so efficient
about it. I don't have to be so stressed about it. Yeah. And I think we all do that.
Then I think you got to keep track. Yeah.
Exactly. You have to. But I think it's general people. It's like you get to a point and we all go through the periods of like, you know, I really want someone. And then there's that moment where you calm down. Because I know it. Two of my sisters. I'm done. I'm not even going to try to look. And within three to 6 months, a year, they'd met their partner. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just knowing you want someone and then putting it in the back of your head. It just takes the pressure off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't want the pressure, but like that intentionality in the back of your head.
It's still there, though. It flows through the rest of you. And it's
there for when it comes across, like it's ready. It'll activate itself.
Exactly. That's the whole thing about just be ready. So, you know, stay ready. So you don't have to be ready. You don't have to get ready. That's it. Mentally. Yeah,
shave your buttholes mentally.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Have emotional butthole shaving, everybody, is what we're saying.
So where'd you stumble upon him?
We met, he slid into my DMs on Instagram. Okay. That actually was at the very beginning of the pandemic, but he used the pandemic as an entry. It was like, well, since the world's ending, I thought I'd say hello. Because he knew Mike, he met me through another comedian in London who I'm friends with.
Okay.
And because he's based in London, right? So he loves this comedian and they said, oh, one day you should know Deborah DiGiovanni. And he followed me, started watching my comedy, and then like a year later, the pandemic started, so he took a shot. He shot a shot, and it worked out. There we go. It'll be, it'll be 4 years in July if we make it to July.
If we will.
We're good. We're
I had
good.
Someone on recently. I won't say who, but like we were done, and then at the end, like they were saying, like, you know, I actually don't know if this relationship's actually gonna last much longer than we were talking about. And then I go like, oh shit, that's okay. Weird. She's like, I was like, are you? I hope you all don't break up before the episode comes out.
I was gonna say, is this
coming out in like 10 days? You think you're gonna make it that long?
Can you hang on for 2 weeks, please?
I was like, oh my, it just sounds like an excuse to have you back afterwards.
I was gonna say part two.
And is it still long distance?
No, actually, we've just changed it up. He's not here right now because the visa, right? Like the visa situation. Like,
do you really have a boyfriend? Are
you sure? I have no proof. But I
20 years of singledom, sometimes people will just start to be like, I'll just make one up.
Exactly.
He goes to a different college.
He goes to he's from Canada. That's what it is. But he actually, with IMDb,
he's real.
He's real. I don't have any pictures, but he is real. Or together. I don't have any pictures of us together. But anyway, I have a lot of pictures of one man. But anyway,
a lot of collages. Of solo shots.
I was going to say, from a distance, across the street. Oh my God. Love really hard black and white. Love going through black his window. And white.
Yeah.
You know, you always see them on that. They're always black and white photos. Mm. Why? I don't know. Anyway, but no, he, because of his visa.
I just got to say that you are just like you are on stage. It's so fun. I don't know if this turns off when the microphone's not in front of you.
I think it does. Like, I think it does off for a little bit.
You are exactly as I hoped.
Good. This is the thing with me and a microphone. I turn into the Deborah on stage, and also I sweat. The minute I get a microphone, I'm sweating.
You know what?
Because it's performing. So my brain is like, just.
I forget if in that special, if you address her or not, but I'm like, you are.
I'm a sweaty girl.
It does seem as like the lights seem a little hot tonight.
Yeah, well, that
as if she's moving around a lot. The lights are bright.
Those lights are. But you know what? I have to be honest. I come from a sweaty family. Okay. I really do. We're just Italian sweaty people. We just are. Like one of my visuals of my father is always with you. My dad always had a handkerchief. You know, like an old European man, and he always wiping his face with his handkerchief. Oh, that's me. That's who I am. But anyway, I'm okay with it.
You were just saying it in a different way because you were like kind of muttering it. But like, is Di Giovanni?
Di Giovanni.
Okay. Di Giovanni.
Listen, I just found out I've been saying my last name wrong.
Well, like same, but like I still.
Oh,
like,
how do you say your last name?
Okay, like.
How does your mom and dad say your last name?
We say Procida.
Okay,
but in Italian it would be Progida.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Progida.
You see, I've been saying Di Giovanni.
Yeah.
And then my partner, he is Italian though, right? Like, so he lives in London, but he's full Italian. And he's like, I have to tell you, you've been saying your last name wrong. I'm like, excuse me. So it's one of those things that it's very hard to learn because my brain is like, it's not Di Giovanni, it's Di Giovanni. So it's what Digio, and Digio. That's what I've. Because I've always done it phonetically, D-G-O-Vanni. And he's like, no, yeah. It's D-G-O. Like,
no, the okay. New Jersey, you know, Italians going, Procida.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
How you doing? Procida. There's an island in Italy, Isla di Procida. Like, we're not from the island, but like we're named after. So we go onto the island, and the waiter, you know, my dad pays for lunch with a credit card, and the waiter's like, Procida, Procida. Your name is you're a Procida. He's like, yeah, we're Procida. Procida, Procida. Yeah.
It's the English version of it, right? It's the same. Because in Canada, like obviously there's a lot of Italians in New York, but there's a lot of Italians in Montreal and Quebec, where that's where I was born.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of good mob up there.
Yeah, the lot of good mob up there. That's what I'm saying. So it's a lot of French Italian, but that's where my people are from. Yeah.
So it's so he is. He's not here right now. He does exist.
He will be here on February 26th.
So he's there.
He comes. He's come back and forth. Like he doesn't have a house in London anymore. But because of the pandemic, legalities and like visas and stuff, a year and a half wait.
Okay.
We can't even get a meeting until 2025. So we're just like, okay. So this is. So right now he's in Turin, I think, or somewhere fabulous. Whatever.
So with the long distance, y'all do the monogamy thing still?
For now, you know, it's like because, you know, okay, so it's been almost 4 years, but like if you add up the time we've been in the same room, it's like a year.
Yeah.
Do you know? So we're just, I don't know. Yeah. Like at the beginning, my brain is like complete monogamy. But then I also, I've also, you know, not been in a relationship with a bisexual person. So my brain does go, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like if there's ever an inkling or an urge for men, you know, we'll talk about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? We'll talk about that.
You hold space for that.
That's a nice way to say it. I hold space for that. It's not something that it's an issue right now.
Yeah.
So we're just kind of, yeah, I love
it.
It'll probably come up at some point.
You can come to the table and it doesn't, the thing, I think monogamy is so fragile because if somebody even just wants to discuss the possibility, some people would break up over just even asking about it. Yeah. They're like not demanding. They're saying it's fine too. If it's a no.
Yep.
And you're saying like, yeah, we could talk about it. You want some dick? We could talk. Maybe I'll be okay. Maybe I'm not, but we'll talk about it. Like, and it's okay to talk about
it. It's okay to talk about it. It's also okay to have the feelings, which I think another thing is we do that as humans as well. It's like, how dare you even remotely desire somebody else? Come on. We're human beings. You know what I mean? It's like, this is, it happens. And I also, I really, it's interesting too, because I don't really worry about it. Like, I really don't. Like, it's not something that I go, maybe, because I, you know, I've been cheated on. Mm-hmm. I've been in, you know, relationship.
It's cheated upon.
Upon, oh my God. Love that. Thank you. I'll take it.
But I don't know if that's right.
I don't know. It felt right. But you know, though, and I'm going to say this again to the people listening, in your heart, we probably knew they were cheating. Do you know what I mean? Somewhere deep down, you know. And like right now I go, it doesn't, there's nothing. It doesn't occur to me. I know that right now we're both faithful and monogamous. And again, faithful is another thing too. Because if I'm leaving space open for maybe non-monogamy, that doesn't feel unfaithful to me. Because it feels, the whole point is the truth. Yeah, it's
faithful
truth.
Is, if you, in monogamy, if you're being unfaithful, it's because you broke the agreement. The agreement was monogamy. If you agree on non-monogamy, but you got to use condoms. It's like, then the unfaithful is when you don't use the condom. Right? Exactly. Whatever.
We're lying about the whatever. Yeah. Whatever you've agreed upon is that's when it's unfaithful. That's a very nice way to differentiate, to be honest. So, So that is, I'm keeping space for that. I love that. I love that expression. I really do.
This might be personal. Yeah, go. It's okay if not. Yeah. Sorry. I don't want to be gross, but like being with a bi man, there's ever thoughts of like, it might be fun to like bang a dude with him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Because I have to say what really, what intrigues me. I'd like to watch it happen. Mm. I really feel like that because there is something like,
do you watch
really,
gay porn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but
so you're like, oh, this would be great. I could like watch it live.
Yeah, seriously though.
You'd be like a straight dude being like, I just want to watch some lesbian porn in person.
Literally. And also too, it's like, I think my partner is very hot and I think it'd be really hot to watch him be with a man. I really do. Like even like my brain always goes kissing for someone. I'd love to watch him make out with someone. Then I'm like, would I want to watch him suck a dick? Yes, I probably would. And I, you know, I'm not sure I want to be interacting, but I might be in the corner just
maybe like you
watching.
Could be a lube fairy.
I swear to God. Like, that's exactly. I'll be the fluffer. You know what I mean? Do they still say that?
Extend the hand down. You just do a little squirt with the bottle for him.
I'll just take the bottle back. Yes. I'll get it. But honestly,
that is a real issue. Is like when you got to bring the lube out. It's like, it's just like in the bed with you still. You don't fully get it closed. Now the bed's
Oh, God.
Wet.
It's like, and I've just ruined sheets.
It'd be
oh,
nice
my God.
If there's just a third person just to bring it just in and out.
The handler or whatever.
Yeah.
The production assistant. But no,
the PA for my fuck tonight.
Exactly. But honestly, that even like what we're talking about, like tucking in, although I'm a big watcher though. I enjoy watching though. I've always been one of those. I like to just check shit out. So I think I would be very much into that. So we'll put that in there. We'll put that as a placeholder as well. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And friends are like,
I'm literally wiping my face right now. Just the microphone. Okay, go. And menopause. I love it. Combination. It's terrible.
No, this is wild because like, I've been following you on Twitter for like a decade.
Yeah.
Because I've just been like, oh, this
is
hilarious.
It has been that long, hasn't it? Isn't that terrifying? My God. I'm not even on Twitter anymore.
I mean, yeah, I'm phasing out.
Yeah.
I got nominated for an AVN, so I was like, I got to go. You know, put the voting thing. I did not win. But I went back on to do that. But now,
and then you're like, okay, I can go.
Really, like the Naked Comedy Show, I'll put the ticket links there. But
yeah, but other than that,
I'm moving.
Oh, the threads is just threads not as good.
It's not as good.
But it's not, but it's something. It's something. Exactly. It's better than better than like evilness. I'm, that is.
You know what? When I get two likes on a thing on Threads, I don't feel bad like I do on Twitter.
Totally.
I go like, dude, likes. Hey, you know, I don't even know how this thing works.
That's exactly. I'm like, it's Threads. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, totally. But Twitter, God, it would ruin a day, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It just ruined a day. You're like, ugh, I got nothing.
They stole the blue checks, and they ruined it, and he ruined a real nice thing.
He did. He
but
really did.
But it did allow me to finally get in touch with you.
Yeah, there we go.
So we've been DMing for like a very long
time. I know. It's been a long time. It really has.
I'm very glad we got
you know when you do the DMs and you go back and you look and you're like, ooh, 2017. You're like, fuck, that was... Anyway.
Well, sometimes like you go to DM someone, but the last thing was like maybe a little contentious, and it was 3 years ago. And I'm like,
okay, we can let this go now. This
is going to be a totally nice message, but I don't know. Am I even allowed to DM them anymore? I don't know.
There's that when you're like, I know you can see the past DMs. What do we do here?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, we both know that it's been 4 years, but whatever.
Yeah, no, so it's a joy and a delight to meet you.
That,
and
you too. It's nice. It's a long time coming.
Yes, yes. What are you working on anything in particular
these
days?
I've got the new album. I'm recording it this weekend. So we're hoping to have a springtime release. This will be my, I'm going to say fourth album, I think.
Single Awkward Female was what number?
That was... Second. Yeah, that okay. was the second one.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. So there's more Deborah.
Yeah, there's other out there. There's a like just an actual album is Lady Jazz. That's out there as well. That's on Spotify and stuff. And then this will be the fourth. No name yet to be announced. I'm not sure, but yeah, we're hoping for like an April release. So yeah, stay tuned.
And will the fella be back?
Yeah. He'll be here too. He's not here for the taping, which I actually am kind of glad for, to be honest. You know what I mean? Because then I can just stress by myself and not worry about yelling at him or something. Yeah, the diva.
Well, one question before we go, because I know you gotta go. Yeah. Keep an eye on time for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for not being like constantly on the phone checking.
I don't even know where my phone is.
What was the first? You can interpret this as the first just date or the first like time getting intimate with somebody. But after that big long stint, what was the first time like?
Okay, this was interesting. This was, and I'll tell you, you know what, this actually, it wouldn't have happened if this hadn't happened. Okay, I had done a show. I was in downtown LA and it was one of those nights where it's just like, yeah, I don't really want to do the show. I'm going to go, whatever. And it was super hot. It was July, so it was scorching hot. And, like, I'm already a sweater, if we've been talking about. So, like, you put me, and, like, we were, like, in a little under, I think it was in a basement. Ended up being a really good show. But a dude was in the show. And then afterwards came up to me and was like, oh, you know, what's your Instagram? And blah. And he was like, you're really funny. I was like, thanks. And then the next day, I get DM. Hey, you want to talk sometime? I was like, what? And I really had that moment. I was like, is he hitting on me? Like, I think I even was like, are you hitting on me right now? And he's like, yeah. I was like, oh. But honestly, because if he hadn't kind of, not aggressive, but that sort of like real like, yeah. I'm coming for you. I'd like to meet you. And it wouldn't happen. So that was like, honestly, I was very grateful that happened. It happened in comedy. Like I'd talk to him in the crowd and stuff. And so I was very fortunate for that. But that probably took a couple weeks of sort of me going, are you kidding? Is this? And then he just came over and we had a night of just makeouts. We made out for hours and hours and hours. And I was just like, okay, we're back. And then, you know, he wasn't even, didn't talk, didn't do anything with him, but it was just that I kind of needed that just to break through, do you know? And it was, and it was also kind of one of those like, sort of a gentle way to get back in. Do you know what I mean? It's just like tons of makeouts. And then he left and I jerked off and I was like, goodbye. You know what I mean? It was like, great. You know, you did what I needed you for, you know? And then I started dating after that for like real kind of thing. But yeah, it was really, I mean, I don't know if you can all swing that, but if you can just have a makeout, very nice way to come back. Oh. Very nice way to come back.
I'm so glad it was a positive experience because like,
because
you had some other ones you said weren't so great, but like if that was the first, if a knock one was like the first one back.
I might have retreated.
Like, maybe this was. I'll do another 20 years.
I'm serious. I might have retreated. Like that's exactly it. Like that. That's exactly it. Because that one was nice.
That dude did you a huge service by just being like a decent.
Thank you,
human
sir. Being. Exactly. No, it's true though.
All he did was just not be a prick.
I mean, that's almost sad, but it's true. But
that's
it's true.
The reality.
But that's reality. But it was, and so very grateful for that. Because you're right. Because then the like really shitty stuff didn't happen to like. Couple months later,
but at least you were like, I know that there's goodness.
Well, it was also like there's that moment of like, it's not me, I'm not broken. Here we go. You know what I mean? So
I'm so happy to hear that. Well, I'm happy the pipes are going, and you got a lovely real.
The water
boyfriend.
Is running. Yes,
I was going on your Instagram, and be like, let me see if I have a picture, and I forgot. I didn't realize right away that those pictures were the fake boyfriend series.
Oh yeah, can you imagine if those were on my boyfriend?
Is this him? And I was like, oh, I think these are. I think this is the fake thing that they're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll show you a picture later.
Well, yeah, you guys got to get a selfie
off
going.
Off the air. Yeah, off the air.
All right. Well, Deborah, where can people go find you, follow you?
Instagram is the best one. Deborah DG, DEBRADG. And then on TikTok, I'm DEBRADIGI. Ugh, I know. I know. It's a lot.
Well, you were fantastic.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to meet you.
Yes, absolutely. Right. And why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to everyone.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. Find me on Instagram and on TikTok and come see a show sometime soon. Love you so much. Bye.
Oh, shit. I totally forgot to tell, you know, I'll make it a bonus episode. I'll tell a story from LA in a bony, and I'll put that out exclusively on Patreon tomorrow because I forgot to do it in the intro. I was worried I was going long, and I know there's some people who, you know, that I don't like it when the intro's long, or I don't care about your story, just get to the guest. Fine, I'll put it in the bony and you'll miss out. Folks, the best place to discuss this week's show is in the episode discussion channel in the Champagne Room, our Discord server. You can email me your comments, your questions, your criticisms, your titty pictures to manwhorepod@gmail.com. Head on over to manwhorepod.com for all your Manwhore podcast needs, or to see my upcoming stand-up comedy dates, buy some merch. And of course, as always, the best way to support this show is with your dollars on Patreon. Become a member, enjoy a slew of great rewards, and help me hit 500 patrons to celebrate 10 years of podcasting. I know it's 500 and then the number 10, and those numbers don't really go well together, but then the next option was to say like 1,000, and I don't know. I mean, I'd love for you to prove me wrong. I just have this weird feeling we're not going to jump from 250 to 1,000 in the next 6-7 weeks. But again, like, you could prove me wrong and become a member for free, for $2, for 5, 10, 20, as much as you want to shove down my pretty little mouth. You can do so at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. I can't believe I forgot to tell you all about the bagel. I did the whole intro for like 25 minutes and then I stopped and I started all over because I was like, I want to talk about that bagel. I'm going to have to do that on the bony. Stay slutty.